So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text 42. Chapter 17 is called as Punishment and Reward of Kali. Punishment and Reward of Kali. And the text 42 goes as follows. Vrishyasya nastam strin padan tapas shaucham dayam iti prati sandadha ashvasya mahim cha samavardhayat. Vrishasya, of the bull, the personality of religion. Nashtan, lost. Trin, three. Padan, legs. Tapah, austerity. Shaucham, cleanliness. Dayam, mercy. Iti, thus. Pratisandadhe, re-established. Ashvasya, by encouraging activities. Mahim, the earth. Cha, and samavardhayat, perfectly improved. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila I.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull. Thereafter, the king. King who is. Not repeat after me. The king refers to Maharaj Parikshit here. Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull. And by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull, and by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Purport. By designating particular places for the personality of Kali, Maharaj Parikshit practically cheated Kali. It's an interesting statement. By designating particular places for the personality of Kali, Maharaj Parikshit practically cheated Kali by designating a place for it. In the presence of Kali, Dharma, who was in the shape of a bull, and the earth, who was in the shape of a cow, in the presence of Kali, he could actually estimate the general condition of his kingdom. And therefore, he at once took proper steps to re-establish the legs of the bull, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. And for the general benefit of the people of the world, he saw that the gold stock might be employed for stabilization. Gold is certainly a generator of falsity. Gold is certainly a generator of falsity, intoxication, prostitution, enmity, and violence. But under the guidance of a proper king or public leader or a brahmana or a sannyasi, the same gold can be properly utilized to re-establish the lost legs of the bull, the personality of religion. Maharaj Parikshit, therefore, like his grandfather Arjuna, collected all illicit gold kept for the propensities of Kali. He collected all of them and employed it in the Sankirtan Yajna, as per the instruction of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we have suggested before, one's accumulated wealth may be divided into three parts for distribution. Namely, 50% for the service of the Lord. One's accumulated wealth divided into three parts. 50% for the service of the Lord, 25% for the family members, and 25% for personal necessities. Spending 50% for the service of the Lord or for propagation of spiritual knowledge in society by way of the Sankirtan Yajna is the maximum display of human mercy. I'll repeat this. This is the gist of this whole purport, in my view. Spending 50% for the service of the Lord or for propagation of spiritual knowledge in society by way of Sankirtan Yajna is the maximum display of human mercy. People of the world are generally in darkness regarding spiritual knowledge, especially in regard to the devotional service of the Lord. And therefore, to propagate the systematic transcendental knowledge of devotional service is the greatest mercy that one can show in this world. To propagate Krishna consciousness is the greatest mercy that one can show in this world. When everyone is taught to sacrifice 50% of his accumulated gold for the Lord's service, certainly austerity, cleanliness, and mercy automatically ensue. And thus, the lost three legs of the personality of religion are automatically established. When there is sufficient austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, naturally Mother Earth is completely satisfied and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society. When there is sufficient austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, naturally Mother Earth is completely satisfied and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Narayanam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki. Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull, and by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Just like in a cricket match, when the main player is not playing, then they call what is called as the 12th man or the substitute. So today I am a 12th man for the Bhagavatam class. I don't know who was the main speaker. I was told by my very good wife that I have to give class at 10 o'clock in the night. So please bear with me. Please tolerate me for the next half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever we go. So I'll try and do my best, speak something for my own purification. Thanks to Nandamandi Prabhu for this causeless mercy on me. So, there is a specific situation in the Srimad Bhagavatam that is leading up to this verse. What is that situation? The situation is that Maharaj Parikshit is the emperor of the world. Not only he's not a mundane emperor, he's a spiritually realized kshatriya. He's a spiritually realized ruler. True to his name, Maharaj Parikshit. What is the name? Parikshit means a person who is always inquiring into the absolute truth. Ever since he saw the protective power and the protector, Lord Krishna, in the womb of his mother, when the Brahmastra was thrown by Ashwatthama, and then Lord Krishna protected him in the womb of his mother. Ever since that day, he wanted to actually take darshan of that very same personality. So he was searching. That's why his name is Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was also a very vigilant emperor. A leader, one of the qualities of a leader is that a leader must be always vigilant. A leader cannot be cut off from what is going on under his nose. Even at office, we see, if we have managerial responsibilities, we have to be vigilant. Sometimes, we don't even get the privilege of closing our eyes for even a second. Something goes wrong. Because when one takes managerial roles, then one becomes responsible for others' activities. And that's why many times managers say after a few years, "Oh, why did I take this role? I'm better off doing my own work stuff and then going home, rather than taking responsibilities for others' actions." Right? Because as managers, one has to lead in such a way that the subordinates or the followers are constantly motivated and they all work towards the same goal that the manager also is working towards or the leader is also working towards. So Maharaj Parikshit he understands that he is the leader of society, and therefore he is extremely vigilant of what is going on in his kingdom. He is not apathetic or callous to the happenings in his kingdom. So this is a good leadership quality of Maharaj Parikshit that is coming across in this section. So as Maharaj Parikshit is going around his kingdom, he sees that a Shudra is treating a cow and a bull in a merciless manner. Now the leaders of today's society, they don't care about the bulls and cows. So bulls and cows are sent to the slaughterhouses. Nobody is bothered about it. In fact, few days back, I read in the Times of India that, you know, it was written with great pride. India is the second largest exporter of beef in the world. As if it was something very great that India has achieved. Actually, the ministers deserve to be kicked. Whoever is at least in charge of exports, you know, he doesn't deserve to be congratulated. You know, he deserves to be given capital punishment for this. But somehow, it is mentioned that, you know, as a matter of pride, India is now a leader in the global export market. It's a matter of shame, actually. It's not a matter of pride. That's because the leaders are blind. The leaders are shameless. But Maharaj Parikshit was a self-realized king. So, as soon as he saw that the animals are being harmed in his kingdom, then he immediately took up the onus on himself to rectify that situation. Now the Shudra, in this case, so see, there was a Shudra, then there was a cow, and then there was a bull. Who was the Shudra? The Shudra was the personality of Kali. Satan, if you like. Okay. He was the personality of Kali. The bull epitomized or represented the personality of religion. And the cow was none other than Mother Earth in the form of a cow. Okay. So, when Maharaj Parikshit saw that the Shudra was mistreating the bull and the cow, which means Kali was trying to influence religion and Mother Earth in a wrong manner, then he took the ownership on himself to rectify the situation. The key point here in this verse is, it is said, thereafter the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, and by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. So this is the sign of a great leader. A great leader manages by encouraging people, not discouraging people, or not taking a condescending approach, or taking an approach where one tries to control everyone. That is not leadership. The sign of a true leader is one who facilitates and encourages and who motivates from within. Recently we had very nice set of seminars by His Grace Sureshwar Prabhu. And Sureshwar Prabhu was mentioning that though Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya, we must not ignore the fact that we are accessing Srila Prabhupada's mercy through his disciplic succession. On one hand, he also said we must not be fanatic about our own guru and put him in a position where he becomes the more prominent than Srila Prabhupada. But at the same time, we also have to understand that it is by the mercy of our spiritual master that we are accessing the spiritual Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So in that sense, he mentioned that the role of today's spiritual masters in ISKCON is to take the spirit soul closer to Srila Prabhupada. So Maharaj Parikshit, he was the leader and he took the onus on himself to rectify this situation so that society, so that he can bring more harmony in society, by which people can then concentrate peacefully in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that mood, Maharaj Parikshit was there in this situation, and when he saw the Shudra, when he saw the Shudra beating the bull and the cow, then he severely chastised the Shudra, in fact to the point that he threatened the Shudra with a death penalty. And when he threatened the personality of Kali with that, the personality of Kali realized that Kali is not powerful in front of a pure devotee of the Lord. So then Kali came to know that, no, I cannot win my battle against this emperor because he is not an ordinary politician, he is a spiritually realized soul. Therefore Kali mentioned that, look, now Kali realized that he can't stay there. So therefore he begged Maharaj Parikshit that please give me some place to reside in your kingdom. And Maharaj Parikshit treated Kali also as one of the subjects of his kingdom, if you like. So Maharaj Parikshit said, okay, fine, I will give you a place to stay because it's my duty as an emperor to give everyone shelter. So I'll give you also shelter. However, he did it very intelligently. He said that wherever there is meat eating, wherever there is intoxication, wherever there is illicit sex, and wherever there is gambling, in these four places you can reside. Also, he added that wherever gold is hoarded. Now when we say gold is hoarded, a grihastha should not think, oh, anyway I don't have too much of gold, so no problem, Kali will not reside. Gold also means money, even if it is a credit card, even if it is plastic. So plastic should also not be hoarded, plastic money. So it's not only gold. Okay. So we have to take the essence of this particular paragraph, not literally. Literally also gold should not be held, because gold was the medium of, gold was the currency in the olden days. So it is mentioned gold, but today it's not gold. So money should not be hoarded in one place. Where money is hoarded in one place, where money is not used, where Lakshmi is not used in the service of Vishnu, that Lakshmi ceases to be Shubha Lakshmi. It becomes a Shubha Lakshmi. Like that. So we should not hoard gold. So Maharaj Parikshit told Kali that wherever gold is hoarded, you reside there. Wherever, which means what? Wherever people are too attached to their money, and people are too attached to the idea of accumulating and accumulating and accumulating for themselves, then at that, in that place, Kali resides. And we have seen umpteen cases. If you read news in India every day, you will see umpteen number of cases. Nowadays, if you open the newspaper, there is no good news in the newspaper. One rape, two killed, father kills son, father rapes daughter. Continuously, there is no good news at all in the newspaper. So we see that Kali has very nicely entered. Maharaj Parikshit, he gave Kali that place, but Kali has very nicely sat there. It is sitting, and the grip of Kali, it's very difficult to overcome that grip. We can see in modern society how Kali is creating havoc. So Maharaj Parikshit, he gave this place to Kali, that okay, you reside in place where gold is hoarded. But at the same time, Maharaj Parikshit gave the mitigation to this risk also. Where gold is hoarded, there is a risk in society. Kali will reside. But there is a mitigation to that risk. What is the mitigation? This is where he used his intelligence. Maharaj Parikshit, he gave this benediction to Kali at the same time, because he was a spiritually realized king, he knew the principle of Yukta Vairagya. He said, okay, let there be gold. Gold in itself, material energy, actually if you see, everything is Brahman at the end of the day. Even material energy is Brahman. The Brahman is the source of matter. Right? It's the source of spirit and it is the source of matter. Brahman is spirit in one sense. But matter comes from spirit. So in that sense, there is nothing material in this world at all. There is nothing called as material world. The word material world is because of the conditioning of conditioned souls. Otherwise, there is nothing material. Everything is spiritual. So Maharaj Parikshit had this knowledge. So he knew that though I am giving this benediction to Kali, I can, because there is a higher script shastra which says that if the same gold is used in the service of Sankirtan Yajna or used in the service of Krishna, then Kali cannot act despite the presence of gold. So therefore, he is using his intelligence. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that actually Maharaj Parikshit, by designating particular places for the personality of Kali, Maharaj Parikshit practically cheated Kali. He tricked Kali in that sense. As if he were giving her a place, but at the same time doing everything such that such a place does not exist in his society. So he is cheating Kali in that sense. So Maharaj Parikshit is demonstrating what is called as the Yukta Vairagya principle. If this Yukta Vairagya principle is not used, then as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Maam Eva Ye Prapadyante Maya Metantarantite. This divine energy of mine is extremely, otherwise it's very extremely difficult to overcome. But if it is dovetailed in my service, then it is very easy. So the material energy, the point here is the material energy must be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the material energy will take the conditioned soul more and more deeper into the pangs of its own miseries. So Maharaj Parikshit, by giving this place to Kali, pleased Kali also in that sense. In this whole pastime, Maharaj Parikshit, if you see again the translation, it is mentioned, by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Not many leaders in today's society have this goal of improving the condition of the earth. So in India, there is a, the politicians usually they come and then they come and fold their hands like this and they'll tell you, "Hum to samaj ke sevak hain, hum samaj seva mein lagna chahte hain." You know, they will say. This is in Hindi. It means that they'll come and with a very wicked smile, they'll say that we are servants of society. We want to serve. And that's why politics gives me an excellent opportunity to serve the nation. You know, they give all these kind of speeches. But none of them have a genuine desire to serve. Most of them just want to enjoy the power and the benefits that that position gives. And as long as the power lasts, that's fine. So, becoming a politician, at the end of the day, even if you are kicked out after 2 years, you have earned much more money than what you could have ever earned by going to work on a Monday morning, you know, to office. So, nobody is interested genuinely in improving the condition of the earth. But Maharaj Parikshit, is being a spiritually realized king, he considered himself as the servant of the earth and as the servant of religion. Not as a leader. So this is true leadership in one sense. Maharaj Parikshit was successful in ruling the kingdom because he took the position of, he took responsibility on himself. He considered himself as a servant of his kingdom, not as a leader of his kingdom. I was reading His Holiness, I think one of the disciples of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, one of the websites, he has very nicely mentioned that there are three types of leadership. Leaders that you will find in society. One are those leaders who deploy fear as a tool to control. It's called as a coercive power, if you like. The big stick. Control people with your big stick. Now, this kind of leadership generates instant results. So, that's a good part. Better do it. Otherwise, I'll get someone else to do it. In corporate world, it is a common saying. I would like you to sit up to 8:30 and 10:30 tonight and finish this job. If you can't, then we'll find someone else who is willing to do that. So this is like force, pressure. So this is one style of management. The good part is that it gets immediate results. People will say, okay. So, but what happens is this kind of leadership does not hold good in the realm of time. It cannot sustain itself. Because what happens invariably, such leaders, they generate subordinates who later on rebel against these leaders. There was a case of one gentleman in the United States who was sacked with a very, with hours notice. He was told, after 1 hour you are not required. And in that minuscule time, he managed to sabotage the entire IT systems of that company. And then the company had to spend millions of dollars to then rectify the situation. What they thought, initially the idea was that the company will save money by retrenching this employee. But the company in fact spends million times more than what they would have otherwise spent. So this is what happens when the subordinates don't feel cared for, when they feel exploited by the leaders, that as long as I need you, I'll use you. But then when I don't need you, I'll tell you who I am. And then I'll show my power on you. So this will not work. What to speak of office, even at home it doesn't work. As long as this child is 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years old, it's very easy. Come for Bhagavatam class, do this, do that. Oh yes daddy, yes daddy, yes mommy, like that. But the moment the son enters teenage years, then we cannot adopt the fear tool at home. Then we have to beg. Very good. Can you please come for Bhagavatam class? Why don't you consider that option? I'll see daddy. Okay. So sometimes even at home it doesn't work. What to speak of work. So this leadership style will not work through all the life cycle stages. The second type of leaders, they use the fairness principle. Fairness principle. Convenience-based approach. It's normally called as, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Fairness. Everything fair. Which means, you work for me, you dance to my tunes, and I'll give you whatever you want. Most offices today, or corporate culture is all about this. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You become a donkey for me, and I will make you the leader of other donkeys. Who will work for you then? Like that. Don't rebel. Do whatever is told to you. Align. Cooperate. Like that. As long as you do that, one can grow. One, in this, at least I have seen in many companies, it doesn't really require intelligence to grow. It doesn't even require hard work to grow. It requires alignment to grow. It requires alignment. You have, one has to understand what my boss is thinking right now. What will make my boss look good in front of his boss? So that when he grows, he also takes me along. I have to constantly, my whole effort is how to make him look good in front of his superiors. And his superior is, he is also thinking, how should I make my superior look good in front of his superiors? And when that becomes the thinking, then nobody is worried about the company. Everyone is working for his own, you know, he has his own way of thinking. What is good for the company, nobody is thinking. I'm, now you extend it to the kingdom. Nobody is thinking what's good for the kingdom. Everyone is just thinking, how can I secure my position? And when the leadership is driven by a material desire, then true leadership of integrity will not manifest in the kingdom. It will not come. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. I'll give you, you have some skills and I have the power to promote you in the organization. Therefore, I'll exploit your skills and you exploit my power to give you promotion. It's like that. So this is called as the fairness principle. It's all fair after all. You know, it's fair. You worked hard, I gave you a reward for it. It's all fair. So fairness principle. And the third kind of leadership is the servant leadership. The characteristic of a servant leadership is that one influences others through one's own character. The idea is to motivate people through the by generating trust amongst the people who we are leading. The principle of trust. So the leader's character and the leader's vision and sincerity of purpose is very important in this kind of a leadership. Where the followers see the sincerity of the leader and they actually buy the goals of the leader. They buy, they dedicate their lives to the goal of the leader. There is no need to use motivational techniques in that sense. He attracts the love of his followers. So Maharaj Parikshit was demonstrating this. Now this kind of a managerial style is not a technique which they will teach you at Harvard Business School. This kind of a managerial style is a virtue. It's either there or not there. It's not a technique. It's a virtue in a leader. Because sincerity cannot be faked for a long period of time. Somewhere, at some point in time, you know, the insincerity of a soul will come out. So, Maharaj Parikshit, here we see, he is demonstrating the characteristic of a servant leader. By treating even his enemy, which is Kali, with dignity and giving it a place, but at the same time, also ensuring that as much as he has given a place to Kali, all others are also protected. Dharma is protected. Now, such leadership comes from spiritual knowledge. It is not possible for such leadership or such virtues to manifest without a reference point which is directly coming from the transcendental platform. It is not possible. We cannot develop material virtues, sorry, we cannot develop true virtues from the material energy. We can't derive true virtues from material energy. We have to derive it only from the spiritual energy. And when one imbibes such virtues, then one is typically seen as putting oneself ahead of society No, sorry. One is seen as putting society above oneself. I read a quote yesterday that true leadership cannot exist without spiritual purity. Now, talking of leadership, there was an interesting anecdote which Yamunalila, my wife, showed me yesterday. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was attending a peace conference. And the peace conference was supposed to be attended and, attended by several leaders. So, if you like, it was a symposium. So many people were leaders, supposed leaders had come. Supposed spiritual leaders, they had come. So, a lot of yogis, tapasvis, with big, big beards, they were all sitting there in that forum. Now, what happened was, the facilitator, if you like, and this was, I think, in the early years of His Holiness Radhanath Swami, when he was actually seeking the truth, when he was in the quest of understanding who is a genuine spiritual master, like that. It was during those days. So he was dabbling with several things. As a part of that, he ended up in this forum. So he saw that there was one facilitator. And this facilitator at the beginning of the session made it very clear that every speaker will speak for some 2 minutes or something like that. Will present for 2 minutes and then pass on to the next speaker. So everyone gets a chance to speak. Now as the seminar started, sometimes it also happens in Vyas Pujas. Despite being told 2 minutes, then people start giving purports and Oh Maharaj, like that. It goes on and on. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and others are waiting. When will this person shut up now? So, when given a responsibility 2 minutes, then that alignment is very important to that 2 minutes, like that. But going on and on, like that. So, one speaker, one bearded person started speaking and then he was giving his ecstasies and he went on and on. And the others were eagerly looking at him, when this person will stop. Which means nobody was listening to him. But he was thinking that he is speaking some high words of wisdom. So when he stopped, immediately another person started speaking, out of fear that, my chance will go away. Because they knew that they had to end in whatever time. And the speaker had made it very clear. After some time, the tension in the room mounted so much that people were actually squirming, when will my turn come to speak, And then, it actually happened in that room that situation reached such a stage that people started getting up and abusing one another. And then they got physical with one another. They started pulling each other's beards. And there was complete pandemonium in the room. All these people are people practicing yoga. Om Shanti. Like that. So instead of peace, it was P-I-E-C-E. Peace. Everything went to pieces there. That's how Maharaj puts it. It's a world conference of peace. The whole peace went to pieces over there in that room. So a leader is a good listener. A leader is not one who is always trying to be in the center of things like that. A leader is trying to put society ahead of society's interests, ahead of oneself. Otherwise, it's very easy for one to lose one's goal. So this is one thing which we learn from Maharaj Parikshit. We also see, if we take it in a literal sense, in one way, the religion as well as Mother Earth were in the form of animals. So Maharaj Parikshit, and whereas personality of Godhead was personality of Kali was in a human form. So here, a human is punishing the animals. But Maharaj Parikshit is seeing that situation and he's chastising the human. Why? Because he's also considering the animals as his subjects. Like that. Now, I was reading again this morning about one such personality in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. His name is Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen is an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Shivananda Sen's characteristic was that he knew that he could see the spirit soul inside everyone. Now, what used to happen was from Navadvip, every year people. The followers of Lord Chaitanya, they used to go to Puri to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, and they used to go in hordes and hordes like that. Now, along with them, Shivananda Sen observed that there was one dog which was very eager for the darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This dog used to always follow the devotees. So, Shivananda Sen was so compassionate towards this dog. Instead of shooing it away, he ensured that this dog is amply fed every day. And the dog gets a meal as much as the devotees are getting. He arranged prasadam for the dog. Not only that, it is said that when they had to cross a boat, the boatman refused to allow the dog in the boat. So Shivananda San in fact paid him a lot of money. He said, you take extra money but allow the dog in the boat. Like that. So that much he took care of the dog. And then at some point in time, for a moment, when Shivananda San believed that he could not monitor the dog, he left the dog under the care of someone else. And he said, now you take care because I have some service and I'll come back and I'll again take charge of the dog. But the person to whom he had given this responsibility was not vigilant. He lost his vigilance, and therefore then the dog was not to be seen. And Shivananda San, when he realized that, he personally felt responsible for this. And as he was feeling very disappointed and lamenting about that, lamenting in the sense not material lamentation, because he was feeling responsible for the whole situation, they reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when they reached there, they found that the dog was at Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and Mahaprabhu was personally feeding that dog. So this is a brilliant example that when a leader wants to sincerely serve his subjects without discrimination, then the Lord also manifests and assists the leader in taking care of the subjects, in that sense. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sthataiva bhujayam. As we take approach the Lord, the Lord will also facilitate us in doing that. So this is another theme that is coming across in this section, Samadarshi. And then finally, the key point where Prabhupada is talking about here is about charity. Prabhupada says that charity is the highest manifestation of mercy. Now, one may wonder that we have always heard that dharma stands on four pillars: mercy, austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, right? And compassion or mercy is destroyed by meat eating. Therefore, do not eat meat so that then we are compassionate. Right? One may think like that. So where is this question of charity and mercy coming in? So we have to understand that if we look at the verse surrender, there are two things there. The first two components. One is pratikulyasa varjanam, but the other part is what? Anukulyasa sankalpa. So if you take meat eating, that is a part of pratikulyasa varjanam. Whereas charity is a part of the anukulyasa sankalpa. So not only refraining from those activities which destroy mercy, but actually performing those activities which promote mercy, which are actually demonstrative of true mercy in that sense. So Srila Prabhupada is writing here that just refraining from eating meat is not enough, because then we don't deserve a human form of life simply because we are vegetarian. As Srila Prabhupada said, even pigeons are vegetarian, even monkeys are vegetarian. So therefore there is nothing great about making vegetarianism as a goal of life. Like that. So Prabhupada is writing here that charity is true mercy. Now, what is this charity? So if you study Maharaj Parikshit in this section, you will see two facets of Maharaj Parikshit. One facet is Maharaj Parikshit the king, which we already saw so many aspects of that. The other aspect is Maharaj Parikshit the grihastha, the householder, like that. So Maharaj Parikshit was here taking all the gold and keeping it with himself and utilizing it in the service of the Lord. Now this is the duty of a householder also. The householder's job is also not to simply hoard money and increase one's standard of living. I have money, so I bought a two-bedroom house. Now I have more money, so I'll buy a big mansion. Then I have even more money, then I'll change my car. When I have even more money, then I'll have one car for myself, one for my wife, one for my son. That poem is there, no? What is that? One for my daughter, one for the dame, one for the whatever, like that, So this is how, a typical materialistic, householders, Baba black sheep, is that? So one for everyone, my wife's car, my servant's car, my father's car, my mother's car, So this is how typical society is going towards that. And they pride in itself, they pride in this, in possessing more and more of material wealth. But actually, a grihamedi. A grihastha means that a grihastha doesn't hoard money for his own sense enjoyment, whereas a grihastha channelizes that money in Krishna consciousness. Now this is a science and an art on how to do that. Now many times what we have seen, devotees know this very well, that this is the grihastha's job. But many times we have seen that charity is also done in a very fanatic way, or charity is done in the heat of the moment, like that. One example is, you know, we have seen many times, you know, devotees are irresponsible when we do charity also. It is very easy to understand the other part, because everyone will accept, yes, as devotees we must do charity, blah, 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 blah. But it's a science and an art. It has to be done properly for us to be able to do this charity for a long period of time. So, classic example is that Panihati festival, the pot sales which is going on. So, it's very easy to get carried on, to get carried in the heat of the moment. $200, $500, $1,000, Hari Bol Prabhu! And then Prabhuji is like, $1,000. Hare Bol Prabhu, you beat everyone, Prabhu! Like that. And then somebody is from there, $1,200. And everyone is looking there, like that. So, and then what happens? It is, in Hindi we said Tantan Gopal. After you, Tantan Gopal, what is the English translation? I can't tell. You do all this charity, you get all this recognition, and after that you are coming, Prabhuji, I am in a financial crisis. What should I do? When I was a student, I saved a lot of money and I was giving charity. Now I lost my job also. Prabhuji, can we do something? Like that. And then what happens? You do all this charity, you bask in the glory of that charity, but charity does not have any responsibility thread in it. And later on, then you start depending on others for charity. So on one hand, then you say, Prabhuji, $20 milega kya? So like that. So sometimes it can happen like that. Or then you over endeavor. Prabhuji, you know the financial condition. So therefore I have to do 3 shifts. Therefore no time for chanting. I used to do chanting many years back. Like that. So bhakti is not a 100-meter race. Bhakti is a marathon. So it's not about, local optimums. You do something now and then it's really wonderful. And then Lord will remember, now you, even though you're not chanting, I remember the day in Panihati auction you did $1,000. And the Lord will remember, but the platform of nishtha means consistency. So there has to be consistency in whatever we do. It's not about just, even the Indian cricket team, we expect consistency, right? Not that one match you score 100 and another match you score 0, then you score 1 run, then again triple century and again 2 runs. No, it's not like that. Everyone likes consistency. The Lord also wants to see that consistency. So charity requires intelligence. So as grihasthas, to be able to give out this mercy, a grihastha needs to intelligently perform this charity. There are 2 types of charity which a grihastha performs. One is giving money and one is giving time. Because for a grihastha, time is also money. Right? The nature of a householder life is like that. Time is money. So a grihastha has to balance both. So on one hand, responsible financial planning is required in a grihastha's life. For example, there are many times when we hear situations, even amongst devotee grihasthas, where the wife is lamenting, Prabhuji, can you please advise my husband? Whoever comes to him, in the village, somebody is there. That person's great grandmother is not well. So he's going and giving, take 50,000 rupees. Or his best friend in school, he's struggling, he's a poor man. So, he wants to set up one, pawn shop. So can you, fund that money? And then, no problem, I'll give you. I'm working in Australia. Take. Like that. And when he goes, all his friends are at the airport and in the village. They say that, we have never seen a person like you, such a kind person. Because of you, see, our old families and all are settled very nicely, And then we think that we have done a very good thing. And then, we are very popular in that community. But what happens? At the end of the day, the householder does not have any money for his own children or for his own wife. And the wife is lamenting now. Like that. So this is not charity. Charity means one cannot enter a grihastha ashram and behave frivolously. Those days are over. Once enter grihastha ashram, then one has to really live a planned life. And financial planning is very important. So, not that you lose everything or you just give your money away to people indiscriminately. And then you don't have anything left to perform your duties as a householder. And because of which, then the wife has to go and do a two-shift or a three-shift job to maintain the family. And then the child goes to some, creche or what is that? What school is that called? Creche, right? Yeah. And then you say that, oh, my child is not becoming devotee and blah, 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 blah after that. So much of it is because we are not using common sense in planning our life. Of course, it can still happen that despite all planning, there can be a tsunami or there can be an economic turndown and we can lose our jobs. All that is fine. And then obviously the husband and wife have to then compulsorily go to work to just even survive, keep the body and soul together. But I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking even in a normal situation. We behave irresponsibly and then we are stuck with all those decisions which we have made. So, to be able to extend this mercy in the form of money also requires careful planning. It has to be done in a responsible way and it has to be done under guidance of senior devotees who have already seen that stage of life which we have not yet seen. Like that. That will help. Also, when it comes to time, giving our time, then a grihastha's primary duty is to preach. Not to just use the house and decorate it very nicely and then invite everyone to your house for a party so that then you can show, what kind of sofa you have purchased or what kind of, wall finish, what kind of paint we have used on the walls. That is not the goal of a grihastha. The goal is to utilize whatever house that we have in spreading the message of Krishna consciousness, in inviting people to our house, using the money in cooking prasadam, feeding people like that. So, and then also, giving to the temple, etc. So, a grihastha, aside from money, he also needs to invest his time. And giving that time is also as good as giving money. So, time also should not be hoarded. Time anyway cannot be hoarded. But the point is, time should not be used for improving our material condition of life. So, many times, people say that, Prabhuji, I will preach when, I finish my corporate life. When we finish our corporate life, most of the time we are finished by that time. Working 14 hours, 16 hours a day, by the time we reach 60, we have hypertension, blood pressure, sugar, etc. So if someone is saying, no, I will do it later on, at a later stage in life, that stage will not come. It has to be done now. And that requires astute time management. We have to be able to give time to our family, to children's education, to household activities, ironing, washing clothes, blah, 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 blah. And then still going to office, still doing our own sadhana, reading, chanting, again, doing our preaching activity. So it is a balance. So a grihastha's duty of extending mercy to the community needs also practical training on how to do this. It will remain in the books of Bhagavatam. Oh yeah, we should preach, we should donate, etc. But there is a science and an art. It has to be learned. And once it is learned, that art is learned, then we will find that our grihastha life is much more balanced. I'm using the word, I know this verse is, because it's talking about charity and charity is a dharma of grihastha, that's why I'm using the word grihastha. Otherwise this verse is actually not only about grihastha in that sense. So these are some of the learnings. When I saw this verse yesterday, these are some of the things that came into my mind very quickly. So just share it with you. Maybe I was not probably coherent enough in the flow of this particular class, but just because I didn't really prepare for this class. So whatever I spoke from the heart. So please pardon me if there is any mistakes that I have done. Please correct me if there is anything that I have missed or improperly put it. Mahatma, the most experienced grihastha in this book. A good example of balancing material and spiritual life. Any questions? Maharaj Parikshit? Maharaj Parikshit improved the condition of the earth simply by he himself being a spiritually realized king. So, In fact, when we got our second initiation this year, I had the opportunity to be alone with my spiritual master in one room, which is very difficult actually. So, and when we came out, I asked Maharaj, what is the instruction? Can you give me some instruction? And I'm saying it in public because I think that's the instruction which most of us will get. So how can I serve you? He said, be an example in your life. Now that's a very big instruction, in one sense. Be an example in your life. Okay. So, as much as I meditate on that instruction, I'm realizing that we will automatically be preaching if we preach to ourselves and follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Just by seeing us, then people will get inspired to take to Krishna consciousness like that. So in one sense, if you are saying, how did Maharaj Parikshit encourage people by being himself, Maharaj Parikshit, a spiritually realized king, by being a spiritual person himself, by taking spiritual life seriously, then by seeing him, like it is mentioned, yad acharati shrestas, whatever great men do, common man follows. So, just by seeing Srila Prabhupada, people became devotees. Like Sureshwar Prabhu was mentioning the other way. When Prabhupada used to come, then people used to go, he used to keep saying that example. Everyone just used to fall down at his feet, just by seeing that personality. So Srila Prabhupada, just by being Srila Prabhupada, transformed the whole world, in that sense. Of course, he also gave classes, etc., etc. But many people said that they never, had to, they never waited for Srila Prabhupada to open his mouth and speak something. They just surrendered to him and they saw him like that. So purity is the force. So Maharaj Parikshit, by his own purity, was a source of encouragement for his subjects. And that is another learning for us also. So if we take our sadhana seriously, our sadhana, our services, our behavior seriously, then by our example, then others will follow. Anirudh Prabhu many times tells this, that we need examples in the congregation. To make a congregation, we need examples in that congregation. And if we can become an example in the congregation, then that is the greatest service to society. And that's the greatest way we can repay our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. Of course, for me it was a very big instruction. And I'm struggling. I don't know how to do that. But hopefully by the mercy of Vaishnavas, we'll get there. Because we have enough examples also in the congregation. So when I look at, for example, Bhakta Prabhu and Mataji, then that's a very good example of a wonderful Grihastha family. We derive a lot of inspiration from Gurujan Prabhu and Jagat Tarani Mataji. How to lead Vanaprastha life. So that gives us an idea of after 50, what should we be doing? Or Shankarshan Das Adhikari and Vishnupriya Mataji. So we have that examples. So they have taken the ownership of being examples for all of us. And but for them, then where will our motivation in Krishna consciousness come from? So the way we can repay them is by also becoming examples. That's the only way we can repay the debt to them.
In the
second last line actually. Yep. Madhu?
You just mentioned about how devotees are conscious about time and charity. So how far can you go when it comes to charity, like with your time and with Lakshmi? So for example, what happens is devotees over a period of time when they engage in devotional service, they develop a lot of good qualities. And your friends and relatives get to know that yes, you are very pious and yes, you will help when help is if they need help. So if you have people who are in genuine need, they may or may not be devotees, if they are in genuine need and they come up to you for help,
There are two ways of looking at it. Let us look at the Vedic perspective. In fact, in the scriptures it is mentioned, the most important duty of a soul is to save oneself. In the aircraft we say, no? When the pressure of the, what is that, aircraft goes down, then put the oxygen mask on your face. Then you can put it on the child's face. Like that. So, there is no point in, we being a very good person in the outside society, being a good man, you know, in the outside society, and carrying that air and prestige of being a very charitable person. And whereas at home, then, you know, we are not able to execute our familial responsibilities. Now, usually it happens because of inexperience. Especially in Grihastha Ashram, it usually happens because of inexperience. Because a person, when a person is entering Grihastha Ashram very for the first time or new, then the person cannot envision what a Grihastha Ashram is. You know? Grihastha Ashram goes through various stages. It starts initially only with husband and wife. Then Grihastha Ashram, husband, wife, and then parents are also there. And then after that, the children will be there, right? So there is a whole, then you become responsible for a whole lot of people's Krishna consciousness. You know? And Lord Rishabhdev, he has said that one should not become a father or mother or a worshipable demigod or a spiritual master if one cannot deliver one's dependence. But we easily try to ignore that part, you know? And just simply try to operate in the mode of goodness. You know? So it's not about being right or wrong. Right or wrong are all in the material plane. In the transcendental plane, there is nothing. That's why it's called transcendental. The words right, wrong are all dualities of the material modes of nature. But what we are talking now is transcendental. So what is the goal of life at the end of the day? The goal of life, what is the supreme help that one can do? Not just go on giving our money so that somebody can set up a business or whatever. So we have to, but then it doesn't mean we don't give money. For example, if a devotee needs, now we have, recently also we are raising some money for a devotee who's going through a bad time. But the devotee is a very sincere devotee. We know that it is a very Krishna conscious family. But what I'm saying is, I'm talking about those charities which are done simply because somebody is my uncle, someone is my brother, someone is my brother-in-law, and they are least interested in Krishna consciousness. But then I'm going on associating with them and I'm going on wasting my time in serving those people who are least interested in Krishna consciousness. An organization, why is a treasury department there in an organization? A treasury department, what does it do? It invests the funds of the organization, which are very painfully built. It tries to invest in the right places so that then the benefits can come back for the organization. So the money which a grihastha has painfully earned by austerity, by self-control, etc., it is Krishna's money at the end of the day, right? So the moment we think it's our money, I have earned that money, then you start thinking that then I have a right to utilize it in the way that I want. I can use it in the mode of goodness, in helping my relatives, etc., etc. They may not be interested in Krishna consciousness. But when we say Krishna's money, then we will take guidance from senior devotees as to who should be the patra, who should be the beneficiary of that money when I give charity. We are not in the business of doing charity within the three modes of material nature. So, for example, I had a situation in my own life, and maybe you can remove it off the record, because I'm just speaking something personal. Whoever is editing this, please remove this. In my family, one of my relatives, this person is a drunkard. He's married. Okay, so he's married many years back, but his whole life he has spent in drinking and cheating and blah, 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 blah. Now he's nowhere. Now he's having liver problems, and he has been admitted to hospital. Now, this is not the first time he has been admitted. He was admitted earlier, and then after coming out of the hospital, doctors told him, don't touch liquor. Again, he went on and he had. Okay, and despite having children, the children are struggling in life. The father is completely irresponsible, right? He just wants to satisfy his tongue, that's all. And he kept on doing that. And now what happens at a stage when, he doesn't have any money, now he's pestering us, saying that you people are devotees, you must help me. Now what will I do? If I give money to him, he'll again go and purchase liquor and drink. So therefore, then at some point in time, you have to say, no, sorry. In fact, what we did was, we gave him Prabhupada's books. I specifically sent my mother to that place, wherever he is. And I made my mother sit with him and explain to him what is the goal of life, what is Krishna consciousness. Now you are in the fag. Doctors have also said, you may not live long because your liver is gone now. Okay. But still, after hearing all that, he still goes for the bottle. He's least interested. He says, no, it's all there is fine. You know, but I'm not interested. You know, like that. So now when he's asking money, should I give or should I not give? Oh, no, he's suffering. He's going to die. If he dies, he deserves to die. At the end of the day, we have to, you know, compassion doesn't mean compassion for the body. You know, what is the point in saving the body of a person who doesn't even want to go to Lord Krishna? So we have to exercise we have to take a lot of guidance when it comes to the matter of charity. Who to give, why to give. And a lot depends on our own motivation. Why am I giving charity? My time, my attention and my money to someone. We have to question ourselves. Why am I doing? Like that. Do I have somewhere a desire in my heart to be seen as a good man? Achha aadmi. You know, we all like to be good man, no? You know, bahut achha aadmi hai. No, very nice man he is. No, everyone likes that tag, you know, at some point in time. Very nice man. So we are not in the business of being nice men and nice women. No, of course, Prabhupada said, my devotees are gentlemen and gentlewomen. Definitely we have to be nice, but being nice doesn't mean that, our activities are oriented towards getting the tag for ourselves. You know? By serving the Lord, we have to trust that verse. Yatha taror moola nishechanena trippyanti skanda bhujo pashaka. What is that verse? Prana upaharascha itendriyanam sarva sarva achutedya, yeah, whatever. Just as simply by pouring water in the root of a tree, then the nourishment goes to the plant, or just as putting water in the mouth, the nourishment goes to all the limbs. Simply by serving Krishna and by serving the Krishna consciousness movement, by channelizing our Lakshmi in spiritual activities, the benefit of that will go to entire humanity. We have to have faith in that verse. If we have faith in that verse, then we will not be caught in the dualities of good, bad, should I do, should I not do. You know, these dualities will not be there. And in a practical situation, it's better to take guidance. Better to take guidance from senior devotees. Should I give or should I not give?
We can give him Krishna Prasadam.
Yeah, we can give him Krishna Prasadam. Yeah. Krishna Prasadam. If we give money, he'll go and buy something. You know, like that. That day, you know, even I was, I'll tell you very honestly, I'm not beyond, you know, though I'm sitting here and giving big talks, I also get caught up, you know, in these kind of things. That day, I was, you know, when we were going to, you know, somewhere we were going to, I think, Chadston or somewhere, and I was in the traffic signal in Fitzroy Street. And in the traffic signal, what happens? One old man, you know, he came and he started, you know, wiping the, you know, what is that? Windshield of my car, like that, you know. And usually, courtesy demands that, you know, if he has wiped your, you know, whatever, windscreen, then you should give him something. And then I was thinking, and then there was a neighboring car, and that guy was looking at me like this. Are you giving him or not? And I was thinking, oh, what do I do? Okay. And then he was wiping, he was scrubbing. Finally, I told Yamanalila, do you have a 50-cent coin? I said, why? I said, no, give me, you know. I took the 50 cent coin, I opened the door and I gave him. And then at that time I saw a cigarette in his hand. He's doing that, he's taking it. Oh, and I said, oh my God, what did I do? Okay, this was a moment of lapse of, you know, again trying to, you know, because the neighbor car looked at me like that. Are you giving or not giving, you rascal? You know, have some compassion. You're taking free service from that guy. And, you know, so even momentarily, I don't even know that person. But still I want to be good. Maintain my image. No. He gave to that person. No, I will not see that car again in my life. Neither that person knows me. It's all inside the mind. The mind can be very tricky. Like that. Srila Prabhupada ki.